This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Amy Scott. To another workforce shortage now, childcare in the U.S. is among a family's biggest expenses, on par with housing and food. But as expensive as it is, most early childhood educators are barely paid a living wage. And a lot of them are leaving their jobs. That workforce has shrunk by 6% in the past 3 years nationally. In Massachusetts, it's down 10%. From WBUR in Boston, Carrie Young reports now on the challenge of finding and keeping those essential workers.
People who run childcare centers and hire teachers can speak directly to this labor shortage. Bernadette Davidson has been at the Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center for 50 years.
I'm going to go to the fifth floor.
She shows me a classroom that's empty, except for two adults doing paperwork, sitting in tiny desks meant for toddlers.
You're looking at a room that used to hold 20 children, and because we have not been able to find teachers, we've had to leave it vacant.
Davidson tells me that in some cases, the teachers who left the center took jobs in the suburbs that paid a dollar or two more, but some just left the field because they couldn't make ends meet. That's what happened to Anna Rogers.
I've been working for about 10 years in childcare. I no longer do. Definitely the pay is a big factor. Like, you cannot work in childcare and have your own house. You can barely, if you're lucky, have an apartment to yourself.
Most candidates for these jobs are highly educated, like Kimberly Artez.
I have a MED, Masters of Education. Then I have an MS degree. Then I have a bachelor's degree, and that is in human services. And last but not least, I have an associate's degree in early childhood education.
Artez says while she did learn a lot earning those degrees, they didn't help much in the way of salary. She says her highest annual income in 20 years has been $38,000. And if you're a single parent like Kaya Savannah in Boston, that doesn't go far.
I work at Ellis Early Learning Center. I teach 4- and 5-year-olds. I do have a 2-year-old at home who does come to Ellis as well.
Especially since you have to fit daycare in your own life now, what types of financial adjustments have you made to make all of that work?
The last decision was to cut my hours. Cutting my hours meant getting paid less, but it allowed me to qualify for a subsidized slot so I can afford a slot for my child.
Savannah's struggle is something that Vanessa Pashkoff in Western Massachusetts can relate to. She and her husband went into debt paying for childcare for one of their two children. She says her decision to switch careers was agonizing, even though the work was exhausting and underpaid.
But I also want people to really hear the other side, like the rewarding side. There was a student who, he was making this big structure, and I went over and I said, wow, can you tell me about this structure? And he put his hand on his hip and he was wearing a boa and he flipped the boa over his shoulder and he said, it's the statue of Little B, duh, in New York City. I was like, oh, the statue of Little B, like how amazing.
Like Pashkoff, Boston teacher Kaya Savannah says she may soon have to leave also. She's waiting until her daughter turns 5 and ages out of the program where she teaches. Then she'll look for another job.
Is it something that I really want to do? It's not. I love teaching at this level, but things are going to get harder for me.
She says her household expenses will only increase as her daughter gets older, so leaving childcare for another career feels like her best choice. In Boston, I'm Carrie Young for Marketplace.
I'm forever going to call it the Statue of Little B. So cute. And an update on that empty classroom we heard about at the beginning of the piece. It has kids in it again. Carrie tells us the Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center just hired a full-time teacher.